Hey, yo, Dave, hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
Hey, this is Olympic gold medalist Kurt Angle from TNA. Oh, it's real. It's damn real.
Hi, this is Booker T, the five-time WCW champion. As you listen to SNS Radio Network,
yo, monkeys, it's me, PPP, the king of Bada Bing, the master of the diamond cutter, the three-time world champion. Stay tuned or you will feel.
Hey, you listen on the SNS Network, and that's the bottom line. The Stone Cold Petro.
The world is listening.
This is Rob Van Dam.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
This is Cowboy James Storm. And if you don't like that, sorry about your damn luck.
This is TNA World Heavyweight Champion Bobby Roode.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Welcome to TNA Chat Live with your host.
Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service.
The Bronx Father, Tony Mirabella.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to TNA Chat Live right here on the SNS Radio Network. I am the Bronx Father, of course, coming at you every week talking some Impact. Man, I got to say, tonight's Impact was slower than Brock Lesnar trying to do third grade math. It was just, woo, kind of dragging. They didn't do too much. I mean, they set up some matches for Slammiversary. I mean, that's obviously going to happen. We're only a few weeks away from Slammiversary. And Hulk Hogan comes out. He wants to thank Abyss for making the save last week. And I was hoping we would have got Abyss. But no, we get the next best thing. Joseph Park. He comes out and says he was shocked to see his brother last week. But D-Von comes out. And basically there's a big confrontation in the ring where D-Von says, Hulk, I ain't interested in you. And this was the part that was hilarious. He actually has the nerve to put over, well, I'm the TV champion, and, you know, I want Abyss more than anything, and we need to get Abyss out here, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, nice putting over a belt that you haven't defended since the fucking Romans ruled the world. Great, D-Von. Awesome. But anyway, Joseph Park challenges D-Von to a match. But Hogan decides he's going to make it a match against D'Lo. Yes, D'Lo. And if Joseph can beat D'Lo, he gets a match against D-Von anytime he wants. Who the fuck wants to see Joseph Park versus D-Von? Why can't it just be Abyss? Excuse me. I mean, I hope they change it up, you know, before then. I mean, you know, I was hoping we saw Abyss last week. That'd be the end of Park. Doesn't look like it. Looks like we're going to have either both or switch him back and forth. You know, seeing him do two gimmicks in one night. Like, I believe it was Anthony in the chat. If it wasn't, I apologize. I said earlier, pay that motherfucker double. He's playing two roles. James Storm asks, you know, how do you feel about, you know, getting involved last week, being a referee? He goes, just wait and see. And we have Kurt Angle bitching about AJ Styles constantly walking away. But Mr. Anderson says next week, AJ Styles is going to get his colors. Now, this sets up something that's probably going to be interesting because AJ, of course, doesn't acknowledge any of this. You know, Aces and Eights is, I think, trying to just start some shit. to, you know, make people think AJ's going to join them. I don't see that happening. You know, Kurt says, well, fucking might as well join you. Who cares? He's not doing anything for us. So what difference is it going to make? We had a little interesting match. Christian York versus Jay Bradley. Well, decent match. Decent match. I'm not going to complain about it. I'm sorry I keep clearing my throat, guys. I got allergies up the ass. Bully makes fun of Brooke Hogan and says, tell your dad that between us and Sting, it's not going to be a contract signing. It's going to be a contract negotiation. And tells poor little wallflower Brooke, I'm never going to divorce you. So, poor Brooke. Kenny King versus Petey Williams versus Chris Sabin. King gets the win. Retains his title. Again, you know, nothing fucking out of the ordinary. We have Joseph Park versus D'Lo. Park gets the win. Poor D'Lo still in the doghouse. So at the end of it all, Joseph Park gets a match against D-Von anytime he wants. Whoop-de-doo. Bully Ray gives his usual speech and talks about how he screwed everyone over, and especially he screwed Brooke over. Ha ha ha. Sting says, you better make me bleed. You better break my knee. Good promo by Sting, by the way. He says, you better make me bleed, break my kneecaps, fracture my skull, do every horrible thing you can. And Bully Ray goes, well, why the hell would you pimp out for me to do that? Are you nuts? And Sting goes, well, you better be ready to do that to me because I'm going to do it to you if you don't. Now, the stipulation that Sting wants is a no-holds-barred match. Basically a hardcore-style match. Bully thinks about it and says, all right, I'll tell you what. You can have your match, Sting, but if you lose, you can never wrestle for this title again. And he says, don't worry, Sting, I don't want your career on the line because I want you to keep wrestling until the day you die, knowing you can't wrestle for this title. Hulk Hogan begs Sting not to do it. You know, don't do it, brother. I make the rules here. You don't have to listen to what this guy has to say. He's full of shit. But of course, Sting being called out for Slammiversary, he accepts. So that will be the stipulation. If Sting does not win, he can never wrestle for the TNA World title again. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say it was the worst impact ever. Sure as hell wasn't. But, you know, just a little wrestling light. You know, I don't know what direction that these people think they're going in. I'm looking forward to Slammiversary. Don't get me wrong. I don't want to be completely negative. Now, jumping right into the biggest news story in wrestling this week. Not in TNA, in wrestling. And before I bring my guest on, I'll just break it down really quickly, unless you've been living on Mars. Last week, there was a botch in the ring. Christy Hemme botched an intro. She basically called Rude and Aries bad influence. Aries comes out, corners her into the ring post, climbs to the top, and sticks his crotch about an inch from her face. And the internet went ape shit nuts. My opinion on it, it was totally uncalled for and disgusting. But I wanted a woman's point of view, guys. And coming back to the SNS Radio Network for the first time on TNA Chat Live, the 51% owner of the SNS Radio Network, the woman who can find a TGI Fridays for two starving men from a mile away, please welcome Harmony. Boom, boom, sexy. Harmony, how are you?
So thank you for having me on.
Well, you know the way Skype is. You've been dealing with it as long as all of us, so it's a living hell.
It sure is, but that's okay. So we're talking about this crazy little Austin Aries, Christy Hemme incident that took place on TNA?
Yes.
And my thoughts as a feminist.
Well, I wanted you on for a few reasons. A, you're obviously a woman. B, I know how you feel, how deeply you feel about workplace environments and things like that. And C, as like you said, you're a feminist. So who better?
I think I'm going to shock you. I think I'm going to shock a lot of people. And here's why. So I understand why she would be upset. I understand why Dixie Carter would be upset. I understand why the internet world would be an outrage, because on the face of things, when you look at it, it's essentially sexual harassment. I mean, really, if you break it down. But that being said, this is an industry where you have a man simulating sex with a corpse on TV. So anything goes. I don't think that it was intentional. Now, granted, if there was some heat between the two of them, that's totally different thing going on in the background. But it wasn't an intentional. It was an opportunity that Austin Aries had to get some heat, and absolutely he did. I don't think he meant it in the derogatory way that it came out. But the fact of the matter is, this is wrestling. All kinds of shit like this happens. How many times have we seen intergender matches where they do the lovely spot where the guy's down on the ground and they hit the girl or whatever, and she ends up landing nose first into his crotch? It's not something that we haven't seen in some shape. So I can see both sides of it, but, you know, I think it's gotten blown way out of proportion and become much bigger story than I think in reality it was. There was an opportunity to take some heat, and he took it.
Well, my thing is, you know, all the scenarios you mentioned are absolutely true. But my feeling with it is, now, and mind you, I want to put it out there for everyone, I don't think he should be fired. That's going way too far. I think an apology would have been fine. And from what we've read now, he has apologized to her. I think my biggest issue with it was that it was on, as far as we know, this could all be a massive freaking work. Although Spike TV did get pissed off, but the fact that it wasn't planned. I mean, if it was written in the storyline, look,
yeah,
you know, I'm going to run out, jump on the top rope, stick my crotch in your face. Okay. You know, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah. And that's why it became such a big thing, because it wasn't planned. But at the end of the day, wrestling is, yeah, there's predetermined outcomes, there's high spots and things like that, but you're live in the moment. You've got your adrenaline going, and you just go out and do stuff. And you have to make decisions on the fly. Sometimes they're good decisions, and, you know, look at Austin 316. 316 came out of a heat of the moment phrase that was thrown out there, and it became huge. Sometimes those decisions, not so good. And this falls into that category where, you know, I think if he had thought about it, yeah, you know what, maybe this isn't such a good idea. You know, it's pretty degrading. It's my private areas and chick's face. But you're not thinking those things when you're in that moment. It's just go out there and do stuff and work.
Well, you make a great point. I think that I was of the mind you were going to come on here and rip it apart. But, you know, again, the fourth reason I wanted you on here is you were, in fact, now, right now, Christy's a ring announcer, but you were, in fact, a wrestler for a while. So, you know, how would, if a guy did that to you unexpectedly without planning it with you first, I would think you'd be pissed off. I wouldn't even imagine what JJ would do.
He'd probably be more pissed off than I would, really. And that brings up another point, is she's a diva. She's not a wrestler. She's not in doing this type of thing. But, you know, it's not, for me, if I was in that position, honestly, it wouldn't bother me the way that it's bothering other people. I don't even know how to say this, but it's almost like as a diva, she's in a different class. Like, she's not part of that entertainment factor. You know, it's, I don't know. I'm just going to stop talking because it's not coming out properly. But it for me, it wouldn't bother me because it would be part of the show. And I would work with it and I would go with it. Whereas I think with Christy Hemme, she kind of didn't know where to go with it because it's not something that not only was it unexpected and unprofessional, but it also was something that, you know, she doesn't entertain that way.
Right. No, I get you.
And like I said, JJ would be much angrier about it than I would be. I would have just shrugged it off and went with it and tried to get some heat out of it myself.
Yeah, maybe after the fact you get him backstage and say, look, next time you're going to do some shit like that, warn me first. You know, at least
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Exactly, exactly. I mean, and you certainly would, and in fact, probably, like, if it was in the middle of a match, it would be probably discussed in the ring. I mean, I was notorious for stories. I'm sorry. So, you know, there would have been stuff happening at the time, and absolutely it would have been, you know, that wasn't cool. I'd appreciate it if you didn't do it again. And then, you know, brush it off and move on. But it certainly has become a big deal. And I think, like I say, a good chunk of it is because she's a diva.
Well, I mean, shit, you've been involved in situations where a low blow to a female ended the match.
To me. More than once.
Wow.
Yeah, no, there's certainly been some interesting things that I've been a part of. But it's wrestling. Like, it's not for the faint of heart. It's not, you know, your typical type of thing. It's wrestling, and it's entertainment, and whatever you need to do to entertain, like I say, sometimes you make good choices, sometimes you make bad choices. I think this was a bad choice. I don't think it was cool of him to do, but it's wrestling. It happened. Let's move on.
Yeah, I mean, and the point, you know, a lot of people make is if you go back to the Attitude Era, they had Trish barking like a dog, you know, all the sexual nasty shit Vince did backstage with a lot of the divas. So, yeah, I think you're making me look at it through fresh eyes. As a person who was never part of the business, I guess I can't be quite as objective as yourself.
Well, and when you think about some of the, like, really disgusting things, like, we've seen rape, we've seen people held against their will, we've seen kidnappings, we've seen people burned to death, we've seen so many things in wrestling. We've seen the whole disgusting angle with Gene Snitsky, and for anybody that's ever had to go through the terrible pain and loss of a child to have to watch that, you know, we've seen some pretty disgusting and appalling things, and I think on the list of things, I don't place it anywhere near the top.
Well, I'll just say this. I think the ending of the Attitude Era kind of, you've heard it being desensitized. I kind of think we might be resensitized now because we're not used to seeing this anymore.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's, but TNA has always been a little more risque than WWE. They have to be. That's the only really thing that they have against WWE. You know, we saw blood tonight. Joseph Park got busted open. You don't see that in WWE anymore. So,
yeah,
that's part of it, I think.
I think you're right. I do. We're so in this PG era. You know, it's like being early 90s.
Yeah.
And we've kind of got past that. So now when we see these things, oh my God. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I'm glad, you know, I'm glad that you surprised me and had a little different take on it. That's a great thing about having a guest. And, you know, I thought you were probably the best possible person, at least that I know, that we could bring in to talk about this. So I know you're busy, man. I know you have a lot of stuff to do. I want to thank you so very much. It was a pleasure. And anytime I'm on the air, you're welcome.
Well, thank you. It means a lot to me that you thought of me, and hopefully next time I'll be able to stay a little bit longer because I haven't been on. This was my first time being on TNA Chat Live, so we will definitely have to do it again, and anytime you want to hear my opinions, I'm always here.
Awesome, Harmony. You take care. Have a great night. I'll talk to you soon.
You have a great show. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Good night. Not what I was expecting, honestly. Wow. I thought she would be pissed off. But again, you know, it's great to hear from someone who was in the business. I mean, she took it. She kind of opened my eyes a little bit to it. I mean, it's like, this is so huge. And guys, we will take your phone calls after the first break. But I mean, you know, to me, it was at first like, wow, you know, how can this guy do this? And then there were some people on the internet who said, stop making such a big deal out of it. There were other people from freaking Mark Madden down to, which I don't know why his opinion's even relevant anymore. You know, he made a big shit out of it. And like I mentioned earlier, Spike TV is really the one who put a lot of pressure. I mean, you know, Harmony makes a point where if this shit had happened in the WWE during the Attitude Era, I wouldn't even be talking about it. It'd be part of the Raw recap. You know, Austin Aries sticks his balls in Christy Hemme's face. And after this, we had a match between Kofi Kingston, and that would be it. You know, but again, I think, and you know, this is something I just thought of to coin a phrase, I guess, resensitized. Are we as wrestling fans now kind of not are we more easily shocked than we used to be? You know, as a matter of fact, deal with it, man. We got a little bit more time before we take our commercial break. I'm gonna open the phone lines right fucking now.
Call now to talk TNA Live. The number to call, 501-588-7957. That's 501-588-7957. TNA Chat Live.
Or you can add Sunday Night Showdown to your Skype if you're shy and you want to send me an email, real easy. TNA Chat Live at snsradionetwork.com. Not difficult at all. Easy to remember. But, you know, yeah, it really makes me think about this because some of the shit that we used to see, and Harmony really mentioned, you know, kidnappings, yeah, rape. I'm trying to remember rape angle. I don't know where that came from, but, you know, Kane, well, not Kane, but Triple H, you know, and the whole Katie Vick thing, she makes a point there. You know, again, stuff that I just haven't really thought of, but let's take our first caller. Welcome to TNA Chat Live. Who's this?
Hey there, Bronx, it's Anthony.
Okay, Anthony. Sandro, just hold tight, man. What do you think, man? What's up?
First off, to Ashley, fuck you.
Huh?
No, there's something to ask this from in the chat.
Okay.
All right, I know. Your opinion, but I agree with you that we're somewhat desensitized to some of these shocking moments that happen in wrestling now. But if you look at the early days of DX when it was just Shawn and Triple H, some of the stuff they did was just spur in the moment. And they got reprimanded like heck in the back. But they kept going with it, so.
Well, wasn't there that, I'm trying to remember now, wasn't there that card game in the ring where like Shawn Michaels adjusted his dick or something?
Something like that.
Yeah,
and
something like that.
Apparently had he overstuffed his stuff. he's all like jumping around like in front of JR, and JR's like this. Yeah, that's good. Whatever. And
well, I mean, like I said, I think the thing that gets me is that we knew that was all planned ahead of time. This, I think what made it real big was that this wasn't part of like a storyline. You know, had it been, it would have been an easier pill to swallow. And it, of course, TMZ, which apparently has cameras everywhere, probably in my fucking apartment too, they jumped all over it easily.
I think TMZ was the early version of GTV that WWE had.
Yeah, it's a great comparison. I mean, but, you know, nowadays, without the blood and without, it's like, you know, you watch TNA and someone gets busted open, you're like, blood, blood, ooh, you know, it's like a holy shit moment now where, you know, back in the day, you had fucking Austin where you couldn't even make out his facial features because he was bleeding so bad. And we were
in the Mick Foley I Quit match with The Rock, good Lord, he was bleeding. I mean, blood was just dripping down his face.
Yeah, I mean, I watched the first disc of the Mick Foley DVD recently. You know, the matches, I don't care that much about, but the commentary was just awesome. I loved it. And they re-show that, you know, fucking Hell in a Cell where there's a tooth sticking out of his nose and he's sticking his tongue through his lip. And then
the alternate commentary with him and Styles was great.
Yeah, that part I didn't get to yet. I have to check that out. I don't know. I think that if he apologized and she's cool with it now, then I think we should all drop it. This is the last you'll hear of it from me. I just brought it up tonight because that's all you've been reading on the internet for the last freaking week. So I felt it was something that I needed to address without a doubt. I wouldn't be a good show if I wouldn't have addressed it. But I mean, it's time to let it go. Whatever punishment he's going to get, if any, he's going to get. If Spike is really pissed, then they're going to have to do something. I mean, when your network's pissed at you, that's a big problem.
Yeah, I won't be surprised if we don't see Punk on TV. I mean, except probably backstage. I mean, Aries. We don't see Aries on TV unless it's backstage stuff.
Well, they did put him in that four-way tag match tonight. So, but you got to remember, this was a recorded Impact before all the heat came down on them. This was before the hammer was really dropped. So I think next week will be a telltale sign of if he's going to be punished or not.
True. And it would kind of be good if they did bring in Chris Harris back, but I think they're just going to bring in somebody that was that's in TNA right now. Maybe Eric Young, for all we know.
Well, I don't even know if they're going to go as far as replace him in the match. I mean, you got to remember, this is TNA we're talking about.
Yeah.
But, you know, getting off subject, man, because I have someone waiting. Before I let you go, man, what did you think all in all of Impact tonight?
It was...
Yeah.
Yeah, no offense. Good Lord. It was boring as hell. And before I end the call, I want to say you did a terrific job with the WNL thing on Tuesday, man.
Thank you, man. I had a lot of fun doing it. I'm glad a lot of listeners really did enjoy it. And like I said, it's definitely a part one. I mean, I'd have to really pick through the freaking archives, but there were so many moments that had me laughing my ass off. I mean, it was very difficult to pick and choose the ones that I wanted, but I'm glad everyone enjoyed it. I'm glad we've got, you know, I like putting together these shows so that you can have a lot of your favorite moments in one place without having to go through 100 archives like I did to find your, you know, favorite moments, whether it's funniest, whether it's most dramatic. But like I said, WNL will always be alive, man, so stay tuned. You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. So I guess I keep up the good work until I call again. See ya.
All right. Take care, buddy.
Bye.
All right, moving right along. Welcome to TNA Chat Live. Who's this?
Well, you know what this is, man. This is Sandro. What's going on?
I know it's you. I got to stick to the script. What's up, man?
Oh, man, not much. It's been a while since I've been on this show in particular, but of course I got to talk about this whole thing that's been going on since last week with Aries and Christy Hemme, situation that happened. I wasn't upset at it, but I can understand why Christy would. And I did watch the footage, when everybody in the IWC was getting upset over it. And I don't think it was a work at all, because once Aries was, once he was posing in the turnbuckle, you know, and Christy was in, you know, just trapped there, she was like, okay. You could tell right there that she was very uncomfortable and this was not a work. Now, here's the thing that I think everybody needs to realize. Aries in real life is an asshole. And he said this very publicly on many interviews. And he stated that he is an asshole in real life. So this really does not surprise me at all that of what he did.
Well, I mean, I can be an asshole too, but I know at work, I know better than to, you know, stick my nuts in some girl's face. I mean, where I work, my ass would be probably fired and sued. But again, you know, and here's the problem is I keep making the same mistake of going back and thinking of it as just a regular work environment. And Harmony said it best when she said, it's fucking wrestling. You know, so I think the lines blur when it's wrestling.
Yeah, and I can also understand why Aries got upset. You know, I was just surprised that I guess it was retaliation. But the thing that just kind of scratched my head about this is, why did TNA, and specifically Dixie Carter, why did it have to wait until, like, what, Monday or Tuesday to actually make a statement about it? Why didn't they make a statement the next day? I didn't understand that at all.
Well, I don't think they thought the heat was going to build up as much as it did. I mean, look, you know the way the IWC is. Impact wasn't even off the air, and people were blowing up the fucking internet. You know how we are. So as someone like, and you make a good point, because Dixie is always on Twitter, is always on Facebook, is always on social media. It's not like, you know, she's sitting in a cave somewhere with candles and doesn't know what's going on.
Yeah. I don't know. I just thought it was just a bit laziness on TNA's part to just wait a few days, you know, rather than say it the next day, you know. But I think several people are blowing this way out of proportion, in my opinion. But, you know, I think eventually this whole thing will just end then. You know, Aries had already apologized. Whether he means it or not, you know, he still said it. So it's all going to be under the water eventually within the next couple of days. And hopefully the IWC will just calm the fuck down, you know.
Well, they will. And, you know, after some asshole, you know, next news story of the week gets busted, you know, or it'll fade away. But see, the one problem I have is a lot of people in the IWC are talking about, oh, let him apologize on TV. Now, my problem with that is what he did bad enough to kill his character? Because you can't have this complete and utter prick of a character coming on television and apologizing. That would be the biggest mistake. If he apologized to her backstage and now today all the news sources are reporting that he did, that's good enough for me. You don't need to make people think about it even further by having him apologize, let's say, on Impact next week.
Yeah. Yeah. And I guess two things I got to say before I leave. I want to talk about Impact going back to their original time, 9 p.m. in the next couple of weeks. I don't know if that's really a smart move. I mean, I thought going to 8 would have been the smart move to do. You would have gotten more viewers in the first hour and they would have stayed in the second hour. I think that would have been better for them. But for them to go back at 9, it just seems like a step back, you know?
I mean, when the dust settles and the smoke clears, anybody really care? I mean, an hour to me, maybe on the West Coast, it'll mean a lot more. You know, you're talking the difference between 5 p.m., 6 p.m., but still, that's still the hour block where people are getting home from work. It's not really going to make a difference on that side, you know, but on the East Coast, you know, again, other than fucking up my schedule, I really don't. It doesn't matter to me, you know, 8 to 10, 7 to 9. If you don't, you know, change the product and you're just showing the same shit, who cares?
Well, I guess we'll find out when the ratings comes in once they, you know, go back to their 9 p.m. time slot. I guess last thing I have to say, and I got to be brutally honest, I've just given up on TNA once again. I haven't watched the product in, 2 weeks now. I I just given up on them. The storylines has been completely ridiculous. I have no interest in them whatsoever, and I just stopped watching the product. You know, I only came here basically to only discuss, you know, the Aries situation and, you know, the time slot thing, but I just given up. I can't stand their lack of storylines and their stupidity that they're going with it. But, you know, with that being said, I hope you do well with, well, if you're going to have a show with TNA. I mean, I know you're going to restructure, you know, your show. But I hope wish you nothing but the best, and probably talk to you next time.
Well, I mean, JJ and I are going to be bringing back Unplugged. I mean, any show that I do is still going to, I'm going to have TNA talk. There's no doubt about it, because I do not, it's still a company that's out there. You know, we've got the indie show. You got to talk about Ring of Honor, all that stuff. TNA needs to be represented, and it will be. But I'm just thinking I would like to be able to broaden and talk about other things as well, because as what happens is sometimes TNA's over and I'm like, shit, you know, what am I going to do? Because it's like, it's redundant. It tends to be the same. It's like tonight they book some, you know, some more matches for the pay-per-view and added stips. That's fine. But, like, I was disappointed, like I said. I mean, you know, Joseph, first he's Abyss, now Joseph Park again. I mean, I'm bored with Joseph Park. Abyss got me excited last week. It really helped turn Impact around. It was cool to see, even though we know it's the same guy, but it was just cool to see the character, you know, not be a pussy, not be a wimp, and just come out and kick everybody's ass. I think you should have kept that up tonight and kind of faded Park into the background, but... You know, I think eventually there'll be a reveal, you know, hey, it's me. If you didn't know, I'm Abyss, blah, blah, blah. I think that's what's going to happen. But anyway, man, thanks for the call, Sandro.
All right, no problem, man. Take care.
Take care. All right, guys, we're a little overdue for a commercial break. So we're going to do that right now. We'll be back with more of your phone calls and, again, your emails if you'd like. TNAChatLive@SNSRadioNetwork.com. Don't go anywhere. I'll be right back.
The following is a public service announcement from Wrestling News Live.
Reasons not to marry a porn star.
Did you hear the news that Tito Ortiz was arrested for domestically abusing his girlfriend, Jenna Jameson?
No, he probably tried to fuck her, and it was like throwing a hot dog down a hallway, and he just said, "What the fuck? Where'd you been? Slap!"
That reminds me of the quote from Triple H a couple years back when he said, you know, even a 747 looks small flying in the Grand Canyon.
I mean, how could you, in all honesty, be a person not in the porn industry, married to a porn star, and be okay with it?
You know what? I'd have a serious problem with that.
I mean, let's say she's got an early shoot. She gets up, she washes her pussy, and goes to work. Then you wake up, and while you're eating pancakes, she's fucking somebody else. While you walk to the mailbox to get the mail, she's fucking somebody else. When you come inside and turn on the TV and have a cup of tea, she's fucking somebody else. Then she's having lunch while you're taking a nap in your lazy boy. She comes back from lunch and punches in and starts fucking somebody else. Then she comes home. You tell the bitch that you want dinner. She makes you something in the microwave and goes to bed. And you're jacking off because she spent all day fucking somebody else.
You're having tea. She's getting teabagged.
Oh, I love this show.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by the good folks at Wrestling News Live.
Every Thursday, the SNS Radio Network gets in the ring and starts running the ropes.
When I caught SmackDown again. I caught Skip Sheffield's gimmick, and I couldn't help but to think that his new gimmick sounds like an Arby's roast beef sandwich.
Join Brian Maverick Bertrand and Chris Kelly from HeadlocksToHeadlines.com as they talk about every random thing going on within the WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, and the NorCal independent scene. Running the Ropes also features interviews with stars from the past.
It's me. It's the D-O-double-G, the Road Dog, Jesse James.
Present.
What's going on? This is Kazarian.
And this is the Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
And future.
Hey, guys. It's Rima Fatih.
And so much more. So join the guys every week on Running the Ropes right here on the SNS Radio Network.
Hey, wrestling fans, do you want a break from the day-to-day ins and outs of the WWE, TNA, and Ring of Honor? Do you like talk radio that pulls no punches? And do you like your sci-fi and fantasy? Well, tune in to the Elite Force Podcast each and every midweek with Chuck W., and each weekend with William Walkie Walker and Mindwipe, exclusively on the SNS Radio Network and the Chris Jones Gaming Network. Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
What is up, my SNS peeps? I am the Sensational Sequel, Sean.
And Ashley, too. Yes, it's still my name. I haven't changed it yet.
We have this really cool show on the SNS Radio Network. It's called The Open Book. We cover wrestling. We also cover all the biggest gaming news and game reviews.
Plus, we've got the latest from the world of film entertainment.
This is The Open Book. Catch us every week right here at the SNS Radio Network.
Now, back to TNA Chat Live on the SNS Radio Network.
A whiskey bottle sits upon the table, surrounded by the pounding of a nervous heart.
All right, everybody. Welcome back to TNA Chat Live, only here on the SNS Radio Network. And lo and behold, I do have a caller on the line already. He's been my co-host in the past. Most likely he'll be my co-host again at some point in the future. Please welcome L-Train. What's going on, bud?
Hey, yo, Bronx, how you doing this evening?
Pretty good, man. Pretty good. I'm always happy on Thursday night because tomorrow's fucking Friday. But, you know, glad to have you on board, man. What's on your mind?
Well, first of all, I would definitely like to express how happy I was to hear Harmony return to the airwaves for tonight. It's definitely been a while since she's... graced any of the shows with her presence, and it was just great hearing her opinion again about most certainly one of the biggest news stories that's been floating around wrestling sites this past week, and not even wrestling sites, pretty much almost anywhere you can think of that it reports on entertainment stuff.
Oh yeah, I mean the regular straight entertainment sites are fucking thrilled when they can give some bad news about wrestling. I mean, that's obvious. I mean, it's just, it amazed me. You know what's you know what's sad? And this just popped into my head. This is the most publicity TNA's gotten in 5 fucking years.
Oh, God.
It's true.
It's a little hard to argue that, I'll admit.
I mean, shit. I mean, you know, I hope they don't take this as a positive sign. And, well, let's have someone stick their balls in someone's face every week. I mean, that's the last thing we want.
Oh, jeez. well, to get into that a little bit, because I do want to talk about a little bit about tonight's impact. But to address your question first, obviously regarding this whole scenario and your question earlier on about have we as wrestling fans become resensitized to things that would probably not have shocked us as much in the Attitude Era, I'm going to say no. And the reason I say no, it actually kind of... I kind of disagreed a little bit with Sandro during his call, when he was referring to, you know, when that thing happened with Christy and she's going like, you know, okay. When I saw that whole thing happen, you know, in all honesty, I laughed when I saw the incident happen, not because I thought, you know, oh, look, he's, you know, he's potentially sexually harassing her or something like that. When I first saw this, I think I was probably one of the first people who commented on it on the Facebook page. I thought that it was, as I believe Harmony said, it was sort of like his instinctive reaction as a heel character. I didn't think he was, you know, trying to, you know, stick his crotch in her face, you know, on purpose, or, you know, like, you know, thrusting at her or anything. Basically, he just had her backed up in the corner. And from what I saw, all he did was just stand there, you know, pose out to the crowd and just, you know, made her feel like she was non-existent. Like, you know, she wasn't even worth his time. You know, it was like, you know, you can play to the crowd, like, you know, yeah, you can hate me, boo me or whatever. And like, you know, it was like she just wasn't even there. That's what it seemed like to me. I mean, I didn't even find out until the next day that all this shit had started up with people, you know, people wanting him fined or suspended or fired or anything. And it just shocked the hell out of me. And I guess going into your question, maybe for a few other people, maybe they've been resensitized. But in all honesty, I wouldn't say so. I mean, especially when you think about the fact that so many people over the years, they've been wanting WWE. When are we going to get some Attitude Era stuff back? When are we going to see, you know, those risque things that we saw back in the late 90s and early 2000s? I mean, it's kind of a two-faced thing. You're wanting, you know, those shocking moments, those risque things, and yet you see something like this that, in all honesty, I don't believe was intentional, but you see something that kind of sort of alludes to that, and all of a sudden it's a shitstorm.
Well, I mean, you know, you made a good point, and so did Harmony, about he's a heel. It makes you wonder sometimes how absorbed into these characters do these guys get when they come out? You know, where you might normally not do that if it were just like on the street. You know, he's admitted he's an asshole in real life, but it's like, you know, I come on this show and I'll say shit that I wouldn't say at work, obviously, because I know it's time for the show. I'm kind of portraying a character. I think all the hosts do when we do these shows. And it's like, you know, when Mark Calloway comes down the aisle, how much of himself does he lose in that character? So maybe that's what it was, like you guys are pointing out. He said, all right, look, what should I as a heel do after she fucked up our, you know, our intros? Well, this is the only thing I can think of, and here we go. That could be a lot of what it was.
Right. And, you know, I said there was parts of it that I disagreed about what Sandra said. One thing that I do agree with him on is I do see how people could have taken offense to that, how they could have thought, you know, that was what Aries did. I mean, at a second glance, you could see, yeah, he's out there standing and posing the crowd, but you pan back and it does look like he pretty much just has his crotch up in her face. So I can see where people would be offended by that. But just the simple fact that she was chuckling when the whole thing happened, like it was a spur of the moment thing. I didn't think she was offended, and I don't follow her on Twitter, so I didn't know the whole thing about her tweet and everything. But hopefully it has been, you know, taken care of. It's been resolved, and it'll just, you know, be dust in the wind. It'll just be forgotten about, and, you know, everybody can, you know, go back to, you know, just judging the shows and, you know, seeing if they enjoy them, unless you're Mark Madden, who apparently likes to bitch about a lot of things.
That's all he does. I mean, it's like, you know, I don't know. It's got to be like an attention-seeking thing for him. I don't know. I'm not trying to shit on his column or shit on him, but it's basically like, you know, to me, his opinion in wrestling is not relevant to me anymore. His sports opinions are relevant. I don't listen to his show. I'm not in Pittsburgh, but I mean, at least that, he's a journalist. It's something he's currently covering. When was the last time this guy's been involved in wrestling? Now, he has a right to his opinion, of course. We all do. But I don't know. It's like him, TMZ, everybody just blew this shit, you know, to the point where it was like, wow. You know, and like I said, it's no, I'll quote, after we had that classic WNL, I will quote the late great JSK when he said, there's no such thing as bad publicity. So this might work out in their favor. Who knows?
Well, possibly. We'll see. Well, we'll see, but hopefully it won't be anything like, you know, like what you possibly said, that, you know, they haven't come out on air and apologized. But if it's happened backstage, then hopefully it sounds like it's done. In regards to TNA tonight, in all honesty, I think not a bad show. You know, as you said, not, you know, a home run, but from some of the things I saw, I didn't think it was too bad. A few good matches. Knockouts match is pretty good. And this is coming from someone who is not the biggest fan of Velvet Sky. Sorry, Trey. But I actually did think she did a pretty good job tonight. I mean, granted, you know, she's going against Gail Kim, who, you know, quite frankly, is one of the best women's wrestlers out there. But I thought Velvet actually did pretty good tonight. I don't know. There were a few curveballs. I liked the small, short little thing between Angle and Styles in the ring. I love that sweet kick. It looked pretty badass seeing AJ kick Angle in the back of the head and actually get into like that kneeling pose and have his hood flip back up. I was thinking, like, damn, that's some pretty good Assassin's Creed shit right there.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm liking AJ is still piquing my interest, even though, you know, now they've added a little bit of dynamic to it, where next week, you know, Anderson, am I the only one who sees Bully Ray starting to get a little pissed that Anderson's interjecting himself a little too much in Aces and Eights business? I mean, first, like this thing with D'Lo, Anderson being his advocate, you know, the president has punished this guy, and Anderson's like, look, you know, don't worry about it. Just get this done tonight. I'm rooting for you. And then D'Lo saying, hey, man, thanks last week, you know, for saving me from fucking Bully caving in my skull with the hammer. Well, if I'm the president, I'm like, well, what are you two motherfuckers doing talking behind closed doors away from me? You didn't run any of this shit through me. I think that's going to be how we're finally going to get some tension in this group, because I think Anderson down the road is going to look for a takeover.
I think that is something that a few people have alluded to. I'm not sure if before we would have thought that. I mean, after the whole thing where Bully Ray stripped D'Lo of, you know, his presidential privileges and his vest cut, I think at first they kind of made it seem like, you know, as if D'Von had stepped up to that second in command place. But now it definitely seems like we are seeing that more with Anderson. I mean, you saw all of them minus Bully backstage and, you know, walking around, and it did stand out to me that Bully wasn't there. I'm like, okay, where's the champ at? And then we saw a little later that little interaction between him and Brooke. So yeah, I think you're kind of on point there, that maybe eventually this is going to lead to like some sort of inner takeover, maybe set up by Anderson, depending on whether we see what happens with AJ a little later down the line. Because we are seeing something next week as far as, you know, them supposedly inducting JJ or AJ. Oh, JJ's going to be pissed at me for that one. seeing AJ inducted into Aces and Eights, and I think a few of us can probably guess, you know, it could happen either way, but, you know, you never know what we might see. I personally don't think we're going to be seeing anything except maybe AJ just stepping on this, you know, I don't want to be with TNA side. I don't want to be with Aces and Nate side. I think he's still going to be that, you know, I'm my own person line, but I think it's going to be a lot more physical now.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. That's one of the storylines I'm enjoying in TNA. At first, I think I was being unfair where I didn't give it enough of a chance. And that's a problem, I think, with all us IWC people. That I kind of said, all right, every week AJ's coming out, he's doing the same shit. But now they're putting a little bit of a twist on it. They're putting a twist on it where, what the fuck? He's getting patched in next week? You know, I think it's Anderson blowing smoke out of his ass. That's what it's going to end up being. However, we don't know. AJ could get patched in, and maybe at the fucking pay-per-view he turns against him. He's the first plant. TNA says, you know what? You guys keep fucking with us. We're going to fuck with you. And this was all set up. You know, AJ's been with us all along. I could even see something like that. And that to me would be cool, because it would give AJ's character a huge shot in the arm, and it would give Aces and Eights, it would make them a little more relevant again, because now they got to worry about TNA guys injecting themselves into the group, and they got to watch who they throw those colors on. So it could work from that standpoint. And like I said, I agree. Tonight's show wasn't like the worst fucking show in wrestling. I'm not saying that at all. It was the wrestling was good. They did book some matches, you know, give some stips for the matches at Slammiversary. I'm intrigued that if Sting loses, he can never wrestle for that title again. That's a big deal. And I think, you know, everyone wants to say, oh, Sting is old. But I'll tell you right now, you put him in that type of match, Sting will whip your ass. So I think it's going to be pretty entertaining between him and Bully Ray.
Yeah, I can see that also. One last quick short thing before I head out. We've got another match apparently announced for Slammiversary for the tag titles with Bad Influence versus Rude and Aries versus Chavo and Hernandez defending versus Storm and a mystery opponent of his choosing. I think it's universally sound that everybody's expecting it to be Chris Harris. Is there any likelihood that that's something TNA could mess up? I mean, apart from Rude, what other tag team partner is James Storm more synonymous with than Harris? I mean, I don't want it to just be like, you know, I think somebody brought up earlier, Eric Young, you know, woo, Eric, he's back. But I don't know. It should be Harris. What happens? Does this affect them in any way negatively? Well, I'm sure it would. But if they don't have Harris come out, because what else could you do for a partner with Storm besides, you know, his old America's Most Wanted teammate?
Well, I know TNA fans would go crazy, crazy in a positive way if Chris Harris came out there. We'll have to wait and see. Like you said, it has the potential to be a letdown, but let's wait. Let's see if it is Harris or even if it's someone else who's a huge surprise that would blow us away. Who knows? Maybe even someone new to the company. You know, who knows what they have planned? Let's keep being optimistic and see. But L-Train, take care, man. I'm going to let you go.
All right. You have a good night, Bronx.
Peace.
Peace.
You know, it's amazing to me how somebody jumps on a top rope and sticks their junk in someone's face, and everybody just wants to call in now. Welcome to TNA Chat Live, its original founder, the Trey Dog. Trey, what's up, buddy?
So I get home about an hour and a half into Impact, and I'm watching and I'm fast-forwarding through commercials, trying my best to get the show over with, but at a speed I can digest so that I can come on the show and chat with you. And the first thing I hear is I hit play, and somebody say, I'm not a big fan of Velvet Sky. Good, motherfucker. Moe pussy for me. Moe for me. That's like saying we had a plane crash at the top of the mountain and there's only about enough food for three people. Well, motherfucker, if you ain't hungry, that's Moe food for me. Moe food for me.
Yeah, I mean, I know any time the competition for Velvet Sky gets a little thinner, the Trey Dog's happy.
You know, and I agree with Harmony. Velvet is not the best wrestler in a female division on either brand. But I don't care. I don't want to DDT the bitch. I don't want to put her in a figure four and see how she sells it. That's not where my interest lies. But I will say that she's getting better with every week, and I'm afraid that this knee thing is just a way for them to transition the belt over to Mickey.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if you really think about it, minus the demeaning shit that she had to go through at the beginning, Velvet, you can almost make a comparison, not completely yet, but an early comparison to Trish Stratus. Because when Trish came in, she wasn't the best wrestler on the planet. And
she was horrible.
Yeah, and she ended up becoming one of the best. So there's a comparison there for sure.
Well, Velvet has a long way to go before she's lacing Trish's boots as far as wrestling goes. She's getting better. I thought tonight's show was interesting in a lot of ways because it was what I like to call a revolving door show. And what I mean by that is they answered a lot of questions, but they asked even more. And they opened up things like James Storm being in that tag match. TNA, if you don't do what's right and get Chris Harris in here for this match, you are missing the boat. Because like you said before I came on, you know, the WWE fans may not like Chris. They may not like him because of the Braden Walker thing. That wasn't his fault. You know, the part that was his fault was when he left TNA in great shape and signed with the WWE. And I've interviewed him since then, and we talked about this. What he did was, he wouldn't admit it, and I'm not putting words in his mouth, but when a guy goes from being built like Chris Harris was built in a company that doesn't strenuously drug test and goes to looking like he looked when he entered the WWE, it tells you something. Also, he sat around for over a year, almost a year, if not over a year, waiting for them to finally call. Once they'd already signed him, they were paying him to stay at home and do nothing. Well, they were paying him to stay at home and stay in shape. And what happened was he went home and didn't necessarily stay in shape, and they were paying him to sit at home and watch TV. And when they finally gave him the call and said, hey, we've got this thing, Braden Walker, we're going to put on you. We need you to report next week. He was already out of shape. Now, that was his fault. The failure of the Braden Walker gimmick was not his fault. That was horrible WWE writing with a horrible idea to start with.
Well, I mean, it's almost like when you play in the NFL. You know after January, you got a few months before, you know, practice and training camp and whatever starts again, where you can just sit around and enjoy yourself. But at the end of the day, you know you're going to be coming back at some point. You just can't, you know, let yourself go.
Well, here's an example for you, too. You know, right now I am sitting at about 220 pounds. When this show started, and even before this show started, Wrestling News Live, I had 6-pack abs, weighed about $175, $180, and was in great shape. I had bad knees from baseball, which is why I got out of the sport. But, you know, at least it got some of my college paid for. And when I got out and went to the service, I was in great shape. I got out in I can't even remember the year now. But, you know, then I got into real radio, where I sat on my ass every day and stopped working out. And then, you know, I got engaged. I stopped chasing pussy. I let myself go. And I ballooned up to about 265.
Damn. Hey. Yeah. Shit.
Then I realized, oh my God, I'm getting fat. And, you know, now I'm back down to 220, 225. Which, being 5'10", almost 5'11", you know, that's about 20 pounds heavier than I really want to be. But it's easy to sit on your ass when you get to a certain age and just stop working out, and, you know, no fault of your own, just because of what you eat, your metabolism isn't the same.
Well, I mean, it's like me. I used to walk like 2-3 miles every day or every other day if the weather was bad, and I lost a lot of weight. Now, thank God, I still haven't gained it all back, but I have gained some of it back. You got to remember, I'm a computer technician. It's like, you know, basically you're getting paid to mostly sit on your ass. It's like today, one of the girls at the office, just brings me a box of Thin Mint Girl Scout cookies. Oh, here you go, Tony, you know, enjoy. I'm like, God damn it. You know, it's like they assume that the techie guy is going to like the cookies, which the box is half gone now. So
I was going to say how much the motherfucker did you eat. What you should have said was give me some of that ass.
Yeah.
I tell you what, sweetheart. You keep the cookies, sugar tits, and let me put my dick in you.
Oh, God, I'll be dead if anyone at work listens to this archive. Thank you.
You know, one thing I'm surprised is that I've been on here with you now for at least 5-10 minutes. How do I sound, by the way?
To me, you sound pretty good. You sound like you're a little further away from the mic than usual, but you're clear as a fucking bell. I mean, I can understand every word you say.
I have my mic a little far away from my mouth, so you can't hear me breathe, but that's because I'm on my headset. But a listener who I don't know if he wants to be named, I'll find out. If he does want to be named, I'm going to give him complete props. Another listener made a donation to the Bring Trey Back to the Radio Fund today. I came home from work yesterday. There was a package at my doorstep. And I've got a new to me, Dell laptop running Windows 7. That had Skype already installed. It was my name. When you opened it up, it came up in my name. And the wallpaper was Velvet Sky.
That's awesome.
I don't know if this listener wants to be named or not, so I'm going to ask him before I do it. If he wants to be named, I'm damn sure going to do it. I talked with some people today. I'm going to get some of the old audio from the old doghouse, the liners that I used for the promos and my intro. I'm going to get those back in my possession soon. And as soon as I get a chance, you know, some more money that's possibly going to come my way from people that said they wanted to donate. If they do, you know, then I will be able to buy a mixer and the microphone and the cables and the adapters that I need so that I can produce my show myself. I'll have to get with you just some help on that because it's been a while since I've done that. You meaning you, Broxy.
Yeah, not a problem. Not a problem, man.
I got to remember what to download and what to be able to broadcast.
Right. Well, I got all that shit, so that's no big deal. I mean, between me and JJ and Brass Eye, you're not going to have a problem with that.
Right. But I look to have a new show soon. And it'll be the Doghouse. We're just going to keep the name of Doghouse and go from there. It's going to be basically a Seinfeld show. It's going to be a show about nothing. I'm not going to have, you know, it's going to be whatever's on my fucking mind at the moment, what might have happened to me this week that pissed me off, you know, whatever. If you've listened to any of the Stone Cold Steve Austin podcasts, there's your format. Whatever the fuck I decide to talk about, and if you don't want to listen, then don't listen. If you do, hang on, because I'm not censoring a goddamn thing. I'm going to say anything I want to say, when I want to say it, and how I want to say it. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for anybody. I'm not going to talk nice in case the children might be listening. Parents should do a better job of monitoring what the fuck their kids are listening to, if that's the goddamn case.
Well, I mean, I think in a way this could be good because I think every network, every so often, you have to recycle things. It's like with JJ and I going to bring back Unplugged, you bringing back your show. Me, I'm probably going to get with you at some point, maybe for some ideas and advice, because Impact's kind of bumming me out moving to 9 because I really don't want to start a show at 11:30 and end at 1. But
I can't commit to this time slot either because I'm picking my Thursday nights back up at work starting next Thursday. So I can't commit. I don't even know. I'm looking at a Wednesday time slot for myself.
Well, I mean, like I told Train and I told all the listeners, anything that I change up and do is definitely going to have impact talking it. I personally, I'll put it to you like this, and this will make sense to some of the people who get upset with TNA. They haven't pissed me off to the point yet where I'm going to say I'm done with the product. So any show I do will definitely have some TNA talk. It'll have a lot of TNA talk. But I also want to be able to, you know, kind of branch out, talk about, like, kind of you, whatever I want about wrestling. So, you know, it'll be a wrestling-themed show. But I think, you know, I don't know. You know, I was having this discussion with listeners before. I guess this 9 p.m. thing, I think it's more forced on them by Spike than their decision. Yeah. You know.
I mean, they're rolling right along trying to do what they can to garner a rating. The last thing they want to do is switch time slots. Trust me.
Yeah, and I mean a later time slot. I mean, like I said, an hour to me doesn't make a difference one way or another other than doing a show. I mean, I'll still watch it. I don't care. You know, 9 to 11, I'm a big boy. I can stay up past fucking 11. But I don't know what it's going to do as far as – I don't think you're going to see the ratings change at all. They're going to stay, like, right around where they've been. Just people will tune in an hour later. And then if you've got a lot of people who just say, fuck it, and DVR TNA and watch something else and check it out the next day. So
well, I hate to see a TNA branded show on our network, a TNA branded radio show on our network. I hate to see it die. It was originally my idea, yes. Bronx took it over, did a fine job. I could have come back and taken it away from him, but I thought, you know what? I'm just burnt on wrestling, period, right now. And Bronx is doing a fabulous job. People are tuning in. The numbers are good. I've kept an eye on the numbers. Everything's good. I have an idea or two about this show as far as the possibility of maybe keeping it alive with somebody else at the helm. If they're interested, they may not be. They may not have the ability to do a radio show. But there's somebody that I've listened to over the last 6 months to a year call in, and I think they would be perfect for it because of their passion for the product. I haven't talked to that person yet. They don't even know who they are. But I'd like to see what I originally wanted with my joining the network. What that meant was that JJ didn't have to do every show. I think JJ would be perfect for Unplugged and the pay-per-views for WWE. I would still like to see a TNA pay-per-view broadcast. The problem is it looks like I'm going to get stuck closing at the golf course on Sundays, which means I don't leave there until 7:30, which means I wouldn't be home until 8, which means I'd be an hour into the pay-per-view before I even got home.
Well, I mean, if I can, I will find someone for sure. As far as the SNS TNA pay-per-view coverages go, of, you know, their major four, I've got absolutely no problem in the world doing that. No problem
whatsoever.
Well, I'd
like to bring Andy back to the network. And if nothing else, you can team up with him on the pay-per-views. Maybe he would be interested in helping you with the TNA pay-per-views. And then when I get home and get settled, maybe I can join you for, you know, last hour of the show.
Well, I don't know. Did you hear the last SNS that Andy and I did for a TNA pay-per-view where he mentioned about Christopher Daniels using his glove to milk the prostate?
I try not to listen.
You're probably better off.
There are a few of you that I just turn loose. JJ stamps his approval on it, and we just turn you loose.
Now, I mean, like I said, you know, everyone's feeling kind of depressed. I mean, I'm a little sad, too, about...
I mean, I did hear you do a pay-per-view broadcast once with a Geico lizard. I don't know who that was.
Oh.
I mean, if you can do a pay-per-view broadcast with a Geico lizard, you can do it with anybody.
I'm not even going there. I'm not even going to elaborate on that. That's just... Oh, man. But I tell you, like I said about publicity, tonight has probably been one of the best call-in shows that I've had, and all it took was for someone to stick their crotch in someone's face.
Yeah, and I tell you what, Mark Madden, I've been trying to get you to come on the air one-on-one with me since the day we started this network, but since you have marbles in your pants instead of grapefruits... Just because you're pissed off that you're the one thing that WCW didn't translate over to TNA, or the one thing TNA didn't take out of the building when they left and bring over with them, shut the fuck up, you fat faggot. Get on with it. Get over it.
Wow. I hate when people are like either silent or just... They don't care, and then something negative happens in wrestling. It's like TMZ. Yeah, sometimes they cover the shit Cena does with Make-A-Wish, and a lot of times they'll cover, I mean, even TNA, which is another reason I'm still a fan. I got a lot of respect for them. Was after Hurricane Sandy, which I was an intimate part of, they had a drive selling T-shirts, and they did pretty goddamn well helping people out. The problem is you don't hear about that shit. But
no.
You know, let a wrestler, you know, take a piss in his backyard and forget about it, you know?
Now, I like personally to pee out of my backyard. I don't know if it's because I'm an Okie from Muskogee or what, but there's nothing better than fucking free willy and just letting the urine fly where it flies. I like to piss off my back porch. Now, I will admit to that, so be careful. But what I'm saying is I'm tired of hacks like Mark Madden, who are pissed off because they didn't get the break on TV that Bubba the Love Sponge got, and they weren't brought over from WCW into TNA like everything else was. You know, get over it. You're only talking shit so people will notice you.
Yeah, I get your point. I mean, he's like just, you know, and it's not even, the thing is, it's almost always negative. You know, he very...
Yeah, that's the thing is, I like TNA. Early in its inception, I was a heavy TNA homer. There's a lot of personal reasons involved into that. There was a lot of personal reasons. You know, when TNA started, JSK and I'll remember it like it was yesterday. We were sitting in my room where we actually had all the equipment to do the show, and on my TV was a pay-per-view commercial for this upcoming wrestling thing that Jeff Jarrett was putting on. And once we watched the commercial, we started talking, and out of JSK's mouth, he said, you know, it would be good to get in their good graces. And I said, what do you mean? And he said, well, you know, if we were to get into their good graces, maybe they'd let us interview some of their superstars because WWE has turned their back on the internet. And, I mean, I can really go in depth on this, but I won't. But I made a couple of email attempts. Got a phone call. I got a phone number, made a phone call, told this guy who I was, what I was, where I was, and how long I was. And he goes, okay, well, I tell you what, we need to get the word out on these pay-per-views, and you're one of the first ones to ask to interview anybody. So what we're going to do is we're going to give you an interview, and if you do well, and I like how it goes, well, we'll give you somebody a little more important, and we'll go from there. And I believe the first one they gave us was Julio De Niro. Wow. It was a nobody.
Yeah, I'm like, who?
But we were fucking stoked.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And so we interviewed him, did a good job. Before you know it, man, TNA was calling me. There's a... And I know Brian from Audio Wrestling used to have them, but there's over a year's worth a complete year's worth from WrestleMania to WrestleMania of Wrestling News Live shows where we had up to 3 TNA guests a show. And that was them calling me saying, okay, I got this guy, and this guy. Who do you want? Well, I'll take this guy and this guy. Well, why don't you just take all three of them? Okay. And so I would call those three guys and say, okay, here's when the show is. I'm going to call you at this time. Then I'd call the other one an hour later and set the other one up for an hour later. And we'd do a whole show and nothing but interviews. You know, it wasn't until TNA went to Spike TV that they tried to become the WWE and give up on internet interviews. And I think that's a big thing. I think that's a big part of what hurt them. Because they tried to become the WWE and dictate who could interview people and who couldn't. And I think it backfired on them.
Well, I mean, not only that, you take it the other way. All the interviews you guys did for TNA, how many people, and I wasn't around then when this happened, but I have heard the interview, of course. If you're a Wrestling News Live fan, you haven't heard the interview, well, look it up. It's easy to find. How many people said, I found Wrestling News Live because TNA posted, because of the comments he made on the popular show Wrestling News Live, Kid Cash has been terminated from the company. And people were like, holy shit.
Yeah, I have to thank TNA and Dixie and their web people, because even before that happened, we were the first wrestling radio show, strictly on the internet, mind you, that ever made it to the front page of a major wrestling company's website. We interviewed Jeff Jarrett when the Hogan rumors were first, you know, when they show that clip of Jarrett hitting Hogan over the head with a guitar in Japan?
Yeah.
Well, when all that was going down, we interviewed Jarrett the week following that incident. And basically, he wouldn't tell us anything. You know, he was just kind of being Jeff Jarrett. But on the front page of TNA Wrestling, it said Jeff Jarrett does interview with Wrestling News Live's Trey Dog, JSK, and Adam Martin, and, you know, talks about this, talks about this, talks about that, blah, 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 blah. Click here to listen, and it was a link right to our website.
Wow.
So that was huge, but the Kid Cash thing really, I'll leave it up to the listeners with how they want to say it, but I guess you could say, if we ever were big time, that's what made us big time.
Well, one of my faves, too, was the interview you guys did with James Mitchell. That was really a cool one. I enjoyed that. That guy's just fucking out there. And that,
you know,
was
I was
really,
really hoping, I'm still praying it happens Sunday, but I was really hoping tonight when Hogan was waiting for Abyss and he never showed up, that James Mitchell was going to walk out first and just shock the fucking crowd.
Oh, yeah. That would have been... He was certainly a fucking character, man, without a doubt, and a guy who really lived his gimmick. You know,
I think that, and people are going to tell me I'm a fucking idiot. I don't care. I won't lose a wink of sleep after making this statement. James Mitchell is every bit the manager and personality on the air that Paul Heyman is.
No, I'd agree with that. I'd agree with that.
But the difference is, I think Paul has a level. Paul has a smaller level of believability on what he can pull off and be believable at. James Mitchell, you can do a million different things with his character. You can make him a good guy. You can make him a bad guy. You can make him a tweener. You know, whatever you want to do, you can run the gamut with his personality and look and come up with a million stories.
Well, I mean, who was that crazy motherfucker he managed for a while, who went up against Abyss, I think, and then they cut that TV promo where this sick bastard is busting himself open?
Yeah, I can't think of the guy's name, and he didn't really get over that well in TNA for whatever reason.
But one of my favorite things, because it's funny because...
I'm a former alcoholic. I don't have a lot of brain cells left. I can't remember what happened yesterday.
It's funny because my brother is a huge James Mitchell mark as well, and one of the things that got him over with us back when I think he was in ECW was that laugh. I used to love where he would just make it out where he, okay, I've lost it, and he would just fall to the ground laughing. And his intro, I love that. I don't remember if it was in TNA or ECW. It's jumbled in my mind where he had that really, like, it was like evil church music, like low, 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 low. It was really creepy.
I think it was ECW.
Yeah, I think
so. One of the creepiest things he ever did was when they shaved Raven Thin on TNA.
Oh, I remember that. I've seen footage of that. That was... That had a lot more...
I was in the crowd.
Oh, shit. That was a lot more impactful, in my opinion, than fucking, you know, Donald Trump shaving Vince's head. Because I think, wasn't it that interview where he said, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. I just went to his head with the Clippers, you know?
And see, and to get back to what I began talking about with TNA, the reason why I'm so personally invested is because, you know... And let me give props to the WWE for, you know, giving me great tickets, absolutely free. You've seen how close I was to the ring. I could reach out and touch it. Triple H spit all over me. Fucking spit all over me. Kane's fucking pyro about set my fucking hat on fire.
Wow.
I mean, it was, when it went off, it got hot real quick. That's how close I was. And, you know, they didn't have to do that. That was just, you know, I sent them an email saying, hey, I'm in Tulsa, would love to go to the show. You know, I didn't lie. I said, I've been doing wrestling radio and covering your product for X amount of years. You know, would love to go if it's okay with you guys. I'd love a pass, blah, 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 blah. I'm not going to name any names, but if SmackDown ever comes to town, I've been promised a backstage pass.
Wow.
So, kudos to the company for doing that. But it's shit like that that, you know, makes me want to promote their product. And then TNA comes along, and we're interviewing everybody from Jeff Jarrett to the janitor at the asylum. You know, and then Dixie Carter's giving me tickets to this, tickets to that. We didn't pay for a fucking TNA ticket for 3 or 4 years. It went to several Impacts and several pay-per-views, you know. And didn't pay a dime for that. Now, we had to pay for our own airfare and hotel. Hell, one trip to Bound for Glory, we didn't pay for anything. Airfare, hotel, or ticket. All completely paid for.
Hey, you can't beat that.
We stayed on the same floor with all the wrestlers. You know, granted, JSK was really, 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 really sick. That was the last show he ever got to see. You know, but he made it. He went and made it to the show and, you know, enjoyed the hell out of it before he died, right before he died.
You know, I'm glad I have a good memory for stories, because I remember you saying when, I think, now I may have the person wrong, but I remember the story, where James Storm was like, well, where the fuck's JSK? And you were like, well, he doesn't feel that well, he's in his hotel room. Well, fuck that. And they all went upstairs with the beer. That was...
We had just walked in to the after party. It was where Storm and I were sitting at the bar. We looked around. We were the last two at the bar. Everybody left. And we're sitting there, and we got this damn fruity bartender behind the bar, this gay guy. And I remember James ordered a shot and a beer, and ordered a shot and a beer for me. And when the guy took our order and walked off, James looked at me and goes, I think that old boy's got some sugar in his pants. I said, you may be right. And then he said, I guess James handed him a credit card or something, started a tab or something. He goes, well, actually, we're closing. And I was like, closing? Fuck, it's not even midnight yet. And this is right after the pay-per-view. And he's like, yeah, are you guys wrestlers? And James goes, yeah. And he goes, well, your boss, the lady that runs the company, she rented out one of our conference rooms and filled it with liquor and beer. And James was like, is it free? He goes, yeah. He goes, well, fuck, where's it at? So he pointed us to the room, and we walked in. It was Storm, me, Chris Cash, and his girlfriend or whatever, and another guy. And we were all in line, and JB was at the door checking people in, letting people in, telling people to get fucked. And James walked in, and I walked in. He shook my hand, said, what's up, Trey? I said, nothing, how are you? He said, we're not talking shop tonight, are we? I said, nope, I'm just here to get drunk. He goes, all right. So I walked in, and Chris Cash walked in, and he made him, he goes, nope, sorry. He goes, you let Trey in? He's like, yeah, well, we like Trey.
Oh,
those were his exact words. And James had peeled off towards the corner where Harris was standing. And I walked over there and grabbed a beer, and Storm grabbed a beer, and it was, I want to say it was me, Storm, Harris, Gail Kim, Mickey James, Christy Hemme, and somebody else. Abyss.
Wait, really? Wow.
We were all standing there drinking in a corner. Everybody was in groups, kind of.
Right.
And we were in a corner of the conference room. You know what a conference room in a hotel looks like? It's just a big, long room with nothing in it.
Yeah, sure.
But this was full of people, and it had the kind of tables that they put each other through. It had two or three of those against one wall with nothing but liquor bottles. And then ever so often, there would be like a barrel cut in half full of ice and beer. You know, four or five of those throughout the room. And then they had two or three people from the hotel serving the alcohol or refilling the beer or whatever while the party went on. And we hadn't been in there 10 minutes. And Harris said, where's JFK? And I said, he's up in his room. He didn't feel good. He's already gone to bed for the night. And Storm goes, fuck that. He goes, let's go. So we grabbed some booze, and all of us that were standing in that corner went and got in an elevator, went up to JFK's floor, and rang his doorbell, and he opened the door and was like, what the fuck? So we all went in and hung out and bullshit with him for about 30, 40 minutes. And I could just tell that he was getting tired, and he was trying his damnedest to stay awake, but the meds he was on was kicking his ass. And I think Harris finally said, well, guys, looks like he's getting tired. We better get out of here. And I said, yeah, we probably better take off like to sleep. And that was the night that we had the bet between me and Chris Cash on who could outdrink who.
Oh.
He had already gone and went to bed with his girlfriend, I'm sure to have sex, whatever. He couldn't get to the after party, so why stay around and try? He went back to his room. Well, as far as my rules are concerned, I stayed up till 4 o'clock in the morning, and that was the night that I was sitting at that half a barrel full of beer, and to my left was Kevin Nash, right in front of me was Jeff Jarrett, and to my right was Kurt Angle, and I just sat there listening to them tell stories for about another hour and a half. And finally, Jarrett looked me straight in the eye, and he said, listen, Eric. He looked me straight in the eye and he said, well, you've always got something to fucking say. What'd you think about the show? And I said, honestly, I thought it was awesome. You know, it was the first night Sting had won the belt from Jarrett, and Jarrett was going to go home and take some time off because his wife was dying of cancer.
Yeah.
And he was literally back there in tears. We were sitting there drinking, they were talking and telling stories, and he was in tears.
Yes.
He was really upset, and it was really kind of a, I haven't told this, I don't think I've ever told this part on the air, I really wasn't going to, but my mom had just passed away, and I remember talking to Jeff about it, and he had tears in his eyes, I had tears in my eyes, and we were pretty much the last two standing, and then other than Kevin, Kurt left, and Jeff gave me a big old hug, and I hugged him back and said, man, it never gets easy, but it does get easier. You know. And then Jeff walked off, and Kevin and I sat and had another beer and talked a little NWO history, and we both reached down for another beer, and they were all gone.
Damn.
And Kevin said, well, I guess that's our cue. I said, yeah. I should probably go to bed. I got to get up for an early flight. And he shook my hand, and we walked out, locked the door behind us, turned off the lights, and he went to one elevator, and I went to the other, and that was it. However, on my way up, on my way up to my room, I stopped by Chris Cash's room and knocked on his door. At 4:30 in the morning.
I was just about to say, what fucking time was this? Okay, I was going to guess 5. I was off by a half hour.
4:30 in the morning. I looked at my watch and knocked on his door. He puts a towel on. He was obviously sleeping naked. And he puts a towel on. He opens the door, and he's like, what do you want? I just shoved the door open with my right hand, shoved him up against the wall with my left hand, and walked into his room where his girlfriend was probably naked under the cover. And right down there on the floor was that fucking John Cena belt, that $400 belt. I picked that motherfucker up, threw it over my shoulder, didn't say a fucking word, and turned around and walked right out the fucking door, hit the elevator, and went right to my room.
Wow.
Next morning, I woke up, and I had packed drunk the night before. I get to the airport. We're in a hurry because our plane left at like 8:30 in the morning, which means we had to be up at 6:30. I got about 2.5-3 hours sleep. I was still drunk when I woke up. Like, if I'd have had to drove to the airport and got pulled over, I'd have got a DUI. I was still drunk.
Damn.
JSK was hurrying me, rushing me. Come on, man. Come on, man. Come on, man. Because he was sober. He didn't drink that before. He didn't feel good. He'd gotten a whole lot more sleep than I did, probably. I'm guessing. We get to the airport, and they start scanning our bags. Well, they flagged my bag. And the first thing JSK said was, you left your Zippo in there, didn't you? And I said, no, it's in my pocket. Shut up. Well, they flag my bag, and they pull us both off to the side, and they're like, which one to use the wrestler? And I said, excuse me? She goes, there's a wrestling belt in your bag. And he wow. goes, you motherfucker. And I went, oh, my God. Oh, well, I won it fair and square.
Wow.
Took it home with me.
Yeah, that elaboration I had not heard before.
That's how it happened.
Man, on that note, I think there's no other way to close things out, man. I wasn't expecting you to call in, dog, but it was cool, man. It was good to hear some TNA stories and get your opinion on everything. And it was like I said, man, it's amazing how some shit can happen in wrestling that makes news and everyone wants to talk about it. And one thing leads to another. You know, we had Harmony, we had you, and we had L-Train and everyone who called in. Just
wow, Harmony actually called in?
Well, I invited her because I wanted her opinion on this whole, you know, shit with Christy Hemme. And she surprised me. I'll be honest with you. I had wanted her to call in because I thought she was going to go, like, you know, crazy about this. But at the end of the day, Harmony was like, well, look, it's wrestling. You know, it happens. And if you need to go back and listen to that, because she was really, she kind of caught me off guard, and I wasn't expecting the response that she gave. And basically her response was, lighten the fuck up.
Well, that's because Harmony's a former wrestler.
Exactly, and that's why I invited her on, because I wanted to know what she would have to say as a...
Harmony's like one of the boys with boobies.
He said it, not me. I ain't saying shit.
No, that's a good thing. That's an awesome thing.
Yeah,
that's
of
why
course.
Her and JJ are so great together, because, you know, everything he's a fan of, she loves too. I mean, I can't imagine what it's like to wake up every day with a woman that is as into wrestling as you are, you know, has the same interests in, you know, movies and music and television shows and, you know, every woman I've ever dated, I lost because of my passion for wrestling and this show, because they felt like I spent more time working on Wrestling News Live and watching wrestling than I did watching them, which, you know, probably wasn't untrue, but get naked.
How do you get cock blocked by wrestling?
Oh, it's very easy to do, brother. It's very easy to do. And JJ, thank God he's got Harmony, because, and Harmony even gets upset with JJ spending so much time on internet radio. We've all seen it and heard it, but by the same token, she's very, you know, giving, and the fact that she lets him spend as much time as she does, because when you do what JJ does, and you're just now starting to get a taste of it, Brass, I can tell you. Matter of fact, I talked to Adam Martin today. There used to be a time when this show first started out in its infancy, and for a long time, even into its popularity, where I ran the board, I ran the controls, I produced everything. All JSK did was walk in at showtime and put on a headset. I did everything. I did the music, I did the commercials, I prepped everything for the show except the news, because that was Adam's department. Then it got to the point where I did everything but the news, and then had to edit the show, save the show. We're talking a 4-hour file on an old computer where I had to save the show and then send it over AOL Instant Messenger to Adam so he could upload it to the server that we had. You factor in that we went on the air at 10:30, did a 4-hour show, and I spent another hour and a half to 2 hours after it was over getting it to Adam. It's 4:35 o'clock in the morning now, and my girlfriend's been in bed since 10. So, wrestling and wrestling radio can cock block you very easily.
Well, I mean, for me, it's like, I have, and I will say that Brass Eye's been a huge help to me and is still a huge help, but it's like, if I do a show and there's something that I know I need to fix in editing, I won't go to sleep until I fix it. It's like an obsession with me. It's like just something I need to do. And I'll tell you, it isn't easy. You know, I told JJ this, and I think I told him on Skype. I said, once I started producing, I gained a new respect for what he does and for what Brass Eye does, because it's not easy. Shit goes wrong, and you got to fix it on the fly. But at the end of the day, I think if you really want to be a host on the internet, you need to know how to do it all. I mean, I could, you know, I can call Larry and say, hey, man, can you produce tonight? And he'll say, sure. But, you know, I'd rather do it myself and just get good at it, because
right.
It's
you need to know. I mean, and like me, I mean, I'm not, you know, the most popular radio host on the planet, but there got to be a point in time where especially after JSK passed away, that I felt like, you know what, I've done everything I want to do. I've won every award. I've won every award there is to win. You know, I have, you know, done just about everything I want to do in this business, and I was going to quit. And then it got to the point where I thought, you know what, it's kind of like retiring and moving to Florida, where you eat dinner at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and you wear white shoes.
Right.
I decided that if we were going to do this, then Adam was going to produce, and all I was going to do was be like JSK and put on my headset and call in.
Yeah.
And so I figured I'd done it long enough, I'd earned that right. And, you know, then when the show went the way it did, and JJ and I paired up. JJ's very adamant about when he's on the air, he's at the controls. Okay, I'm not going to argue with that. You know, I feel bad at times because in the early stages of this network, he was doing all the work and, you know, I mean, all the work. Like, hosted every show and running the controls for every show. And thank God we got that all squared away. But, you know, like I was starting to say a long time ago when we got off on a tangent, my original reason for coming to this network and making this a network, it wasn't supposed to be a network, if you ask Harmony, was to initially, and my goal still remains the same, it's just a matter of finding the right people, the right fit, that can work together, that respect one another, that have the same desire. I wanted to have a live show on this network every night of the week. Something different every night of the week. I would still like to see that happen down the road. You know, I'm glad that you're pairing up with JJ on Unplugged, but I still think you should have a show where you have your own voice.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, JJ would agree with you. And you know, I just think, you know, especially like the editing aspect of it, that, to me, the biggest kick in the ass, and I know we're giving, you know, away a lot of shit here, the biggest kick in the ass for me is like the production. I mean, editing, I don't worry about that shit. I wish I had some of the old cassettes. I would literally be like 8 years old and my parents bought me a tape recorder and I would record shit like plays and shit. I've always been into it. So once, you know, JJ and yourself gave me this opportunity and the wrestling aspect of it, which I love, I said, hell, this is the total package. I might as well get into this. And I got into it late. I can't even imagine the fucking ball I would have had if I got into this about 10 years ago. But the problem is, now the technology makes it a lot easier. I mean, I'm sitting here talking to a motherfucker who jury-rigged a cell phone and a microphone to be able to do interviews. Now yeah. We have Skype.
Yeah, I bought a cell phone just for the show so I can take it apart and rig it to work on the show so we can do interviews and have live call-ins. When I walk away from all of this, down the road, whatever that may be, when I hang them up, or if God comes calling before I'm ready and he takes me before I'm ready to go, whatever, however, when I'm done, I want people to say I was always there to lift their spirits, that, you know, the emails I love getting are the, you know, I listen to the archive, it helps me get through my day at work. You know, I want people to say, you know, I was a funny son of a bitch that didn't hold anything back. I didn't care who you were, what you were. If you got pissed off, then, you know, you get glad in the pants you're mad in. You know, I want people to think I was entertaining. I did the best I could to do the best interviews with all the wrestlers that these listeners and family members love growing up and watching. But the main thing, the main thing, if they had to put it on my tombstone, the main thing that I want to be remembered for when I leave this shitty world, or when I leave this world of internet radio, is that I opened the door for a lot of people.
No doubt.
And I look back at my career from day one, the day I cracked the microphone and said, "Welcome to Wrestling News Live," some 16 years ago. I want to look back and go, okay, wow. You know, they may be on another network and they may be doing other things, but Spud Guy, Mace, Omega, you know, Lindsay, all of those guys were all listeners of Wrestling News Live that I inspired to go do their own thing. You know, I was a proud papa to see Lindsay show the rack, win the award for, you know, best new show at the awards last year. You know, I've got those people on my resume. Adam Martin. You know, he and Hunter both are my disciples. You know, I've got Bronxy into this shit. And there's others that are escaping my mind. Believe it or not, Chris Cash was a listener of mine. Back when he was known as Chris Chisholm. Curly can be included, yeah. Curly was more of a JJ project than a Trey project, I think. And I'm not done. I mean, I've got other people in mind that I would love to see get off their ass, grow up in the chat room, and become a host because they're opinionated. I'm not done recruiting people to become hosts from listeners. There's a few out there on top of my head right now and a couple that I want to contact in the future. I need to get my own shit fixed first before I worry about them, but I will, and I'm getting there. You know.
Well, the main thing is, as long as it remains fun. I mean, for me, it's still fun, and it's like you and JJ and every other host has said, the day it stops being fun, you know what? I'll just tell people, hey, I'm done, and that's it.
And that's what we've done, kind of, with Wrestling News Live. It stopped being fun. It didn't sound that way, necessarily, but, you know, I just don't want a show about nothing but wrestling, and I won't force myself to do it. In my new show, and my new endeavors, yes, we'll talk wrestling. We'll probably talk a lot of Impact Wrestling. We'll talk WWE. We'll talk TNA. I will talk wrestling. I'm just not going to only talk wrestling. I'm going to talk football. I'm going to talk baseball. I'm going to talk about the bitch in front of me at Taco Bell that pisses me off. It's just going to be a show about everything, but at the end of the day, it'll be a show about nothing.
Well, I mean, you have the unique ability. It's like, I remember I was almost going to put this in the funniest of, but I do want a part two, so I left it out. Where you, there was a Wrestling News Live, and I couldn't tell you which archive, where JJ intros you, and this was the winter where you fell down the steps, hurt your knee, you're fucking... You borrowed an Xbox from someone who didn't give you the cables. You went to the store, got the cables. Then your copy of WWE 12 was fucked up. And it was like a 35-minute intro to the show where you just went on and on about the shitty-ass day you had. And I'm sitting there pissing my pants. I'm like, oh, my God. And, like, you were done. And JJ was like, that was the longest intro to a show.
Yeah, I remember that too. I remember that shitty day. As I look at the scar on my knee.
Yeah, I remember that show too. Yeah.
Yeah, there was a lot of stuff that, you know. Listen, you did a great job on that best of, by the way. But I know that a listener has surfaced that says he has a huge archive. I know Adam's got a huge archive, too, so. We've got more for you to go through and put together.
Definitely. I don't mind doing it. Dog, I got to get to work tomorrow. It's been a pleasure. Man, had this been Friday night, I know we could have went on much, much longer.
Well, I know that we could have. I may need your help Friday night, so keep your dance card open.
You mean Friday night and tomorrow night, or Friday night in general?
Tomorrow night.
All right. I'm here, man. Anything you need, let me know. Help you out.
I'm going to be trying to put some stuff together that I may need somebody to help me with. So.
All right. Just hook up with me, man. I'm always glad to help anyone on the network. You know, I don't mind at all. But, man.
With that being said, peace. 420. Kiss my ass. Good night, white people. I'm out.
Good night, brother. Wow. Unbelievable. This was like unbelievable. You know, tonight was just really great. I want to thank Harmony. I want to thank Trey. I want to thank L-Train, Anthony, Sandro, everyone who tuned in. This is the longest I've ever gone. It was great to kind of interview Trey and have him come out and clarify things. Just awesome, man. I really had a great time tonight. I want to thank everyone in the chat room, but we're not signing off just yet. Let me get some network business out of the way. First off, 4down.org. Extreme Rules is this Sunday. Get your asses to 4down and vote. Put in your picks, because I know Sean is about ready to kill like a bunch of motherfuckers. If you can't get your picks in, set them to random. Takes a second. The new season is starting. We have a lot less pay-per-views than we had, thanks to TNA. And that's not necessarily a bad thing. But, you know, just get your picks in for Extreme Rules. I'm looking forward to it, definitely. The shows on the network, tomorrow night, the open book at a special time, 9 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you check it out, as there's a Holocaust going on outside my building. Make sure you check out, I believe Running the Ropes is going to be an archive this week. That'll be up. All the podcasts over the weekend, check them out. Again, snsradionetwork.com. Just look there for all the shows, the SNS Radio Network Facebook page. Sunday, without a fucking doubt, Sunday Night Showdown, covering Extreme Rules. 8 p.m. Eastern at the beginning of the pay-per-view, 6 p.m. Mountain. I believe it's 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm bad with time zones. You'll get it. But a shitload of content. Again, the network ain't going nowhere. There's some changes coming, but they may end up being for the better. Trey talking about a new show, me talking about a new show, JJ and I with Unplugged. Look for that in June. So just stay tuned, everyone. Thank you all for listening. Man, what a fucking night. This has been TNA Chat Live. This has been a show about everything and anything right here on the SNS Radio Network. Have a good weekend. Good night, everyone.